This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, speaking of nice guys who we want good things for, here comes Mark Schlereth on the River Islands guest line. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Hey, Stink, what's going on?
Nothing, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We're still, just to give you the dynamics of our week, there was major San Francisco Giants news at the beginning of the week, so we haven't even really gone that deep into sort of figuring out what happened with the Niners last week. Would love your perspective on this. Did the Niners get right last week, or were they just playing the Patriots?
Well, I think probably a little bit of both. I mean, I thought Brock Purdy was tremendous. And for all those people who say, well, Brock Purdy's just a quarterback of the system and he just, it's just all the guys around him and this, that, and the other. Listen, man, the guy is a really outstanding quarterback and he's a big-time quarterback. And obviously, one thing about the Patriots, I know they're not the most talented team, but they're a big physical football team, man, and really physical on both sides of the ball. So, it's not like it's an easy matchup. It's not like anytime you play the Patriots, you're not going to be tested physically. They'll run the ball. They'll defend it. Like they're pretty good that way. Obviously the quarterback situation and some of the periphery players, I've refused to call anybody who handles the ball. I call them ball handlers. I don't call them skill position players. That irritates me. So the ball handlers, not maybe as talented as some, but it's still an NFL football team, and they still have the potential to beat you. So I like what the 49ers did, and I love what Brock Purdy did.
What about Jordan Mason? When you watch him run the football, and now we're getting a little bit of a bigger sample on exactly what he is and who he is against the Jets and all the way through against New England, a pretty good run defense this past weekend. What are you seeing from Mason when you watch him run the ball?
I see a guy that understands that scheme, understands what's expected of him. And the thing I love about him, one, he's physical, right? He's gonna finish the run going forward. You block it for two, he'll get you four or five. And that's one of my favorite things about backs, that like the really good backs just find a way to always be falling forward. But I think the big thing for me is he has a great sense of like pressing the hole and then finding the soft lanes, finding the softest spot and hitting that thing hard, coming downhill on that thing. And a lot of guys, especially young backs, have this tendency to want to bust everything out or, make every rushing attempt a buffet. And sometimes you just need to have an hors d'oeuvre. Like sometimes you just need to get yourself 3 or 4 yards and make it nasty and make it physical. And that's what he does. But I always find it funny when, doing this national breakfast ball show and guys go, they don't seem to miss Christian McCaffrey. And I'm like, you don't understand what Christian McCaffrey does, like not only in the run game, but what he does in the passing game and what he does for the other guys that play on your football team, the pressure he takes off of other guys. So let's not get it twisted. Christian McCaffrey is missed, even though that kid is playing exceptionally well in the backfield.
Mark Schlereth is with us. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hey, Mark, I wanted to ask you this. Did you by chance see the video at Niner practice last Friday of Brandon Ayuk wearing the wrong colored shorts?
Yes.
Okay. Would love your professional opinion, especially with the way it looked, having to be talked out of the shorts and having him swing his leg at the shorts. Big deal to a team or not?
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, it's probably not a big deal. I mean, I think we always tend to make more out of it. If Brandon Ayuk was balling out of control, nobody would even talk about the color shorts he's wearing, right? But he got the big contract. He sat out. He held out or he held in. You know, he did all that stuff, and then he hasn't really performed. I mean, Juwan Jennings has been a bigger time performer than he has. So, and he's had that ample opportunity because of different injuries, because of Christian being out, because of Debo being out, because of Kittle missing time. So, you had this golden opportunity to really produce, and you really haven't. So then it becomes a big deal, it becomes a focus deal and all those kind of things. So winning is always the great elixir, and playing great is always, the great elixir for things like that. But in the overall scheme of things, do I think it's a big deal? No. Do I think it gets more attention? Because, he's had these opportunities to really kind of step that game up and really become that forefront of that offense and hasn't done it yet. Then it becomes a deal. But, in the overall scheme of things, do I think it's a big deal? No, probably not.
Not only four games in, and the sample is still relatively small this year, but you look at Ayuk and he's yet to go over 50 yards in a game and no touchdowns. Where do you think the disconnect lies between he and Purdy and this Niner passing game?
Well, you miss all that time, and you miss some of the reps and you miss the connection, and your quarterback feels more comfortable with other guys, and they had a big time connection last year. They made a lot of plays, but what did I tell you guys and everybody else? Like, he has been the third or fourth option on that team that is full of offensive weapons and big time personnel, and so now all of a sudden you become more of a focal point when you have guys injured and maybe you are exactly what I thought you were, a nice number two. So but that's just always the way I've felt about that. And, I haven't sugarcoated it in any stretch of the imagination. And so, all of a sudden you get coverage rolled to you, or you get the better corner on you, you get the top corner on you and a majority of the time. And you're not quite ready for prime time. So, that's kind of how I look at it. And you're right. It is a small sample size, but until you prove otherwise, that's kind of the narrative that holds true.
Well, Stink, here's where I'd really love to draw on your expertise, because the Shanahans, Kyle so well. Let's not just talk about shorts and the fact that 48 yards is his best game so far this year. Let's talk about the fact that he was in the doghouse 3 years ago for a while. Let's talk about the entire offseason, the hold-in, where Kyle was reportedly really frustrated. Based on the person in Kyle Shanahan, what is his willingness to deal with stuff like that? What do you think he's thinking about all of this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I know that, like you said, he was in the doghouse early, and I think there was a learning curve for Ayuk, about learning how to play the style of football that Kyle Shanahan demands you play. And if you don't play, you're not going to get opportunities, and they're not going to create plays for you. And, that's just the way the Shanahans are. Like, I've always said there's two types of like with a head coach, you have to have these two types of fear that exist. It's the kind of the biblical principle of fear, which is like the fear of the Lord, which means an awesome reverence or respect. You've got to have respect and reverence for the coach and the guy calling plays, right? You've got to have some of that. And then there's just flat out fear. Like, man, if I don't do my job, this guy will cut my ass. That's you've got to have some of that. And Kyle has those things, but There will be consequences if you don't play the way you're asked to play. If you're asked to do things that you refuse to do, or that you don't do well, or that if you're asked to run a secondary route, we always call those routes where maybe you're third in the progression or fourth in the progression, and you're probably not getting the ball. The quarterbacks and people call those the love of the game routes. meaning, man, I just got to go out here and run my ass off, and I've got to draw coverage, even though I know I'm not getting the ball on this particular route. And if you don't do it that way, then all of a sudden coverage sloughs off you. They can tell you're not getting the ball. And so they can go help elsewhere, right? And they create an opportunity, you know, or they take away opportunities for other people. And so, you know, if you're not playing the way you're asked to play, if you're not blocking the way you're asked to block, if you're not doing the things, the little things that maybe don't get noticed on film, if you're not, you know, to the average fan, if you're not doing those things, then he's not going to design plays for you. Like, until you do the dirty work, man, you're not getting an opportunity to shine. And, you know, I know this about Kyle. I know how he operates, just like his father did. You know, he'll say, hey, man, we're going to run this play, and we're going to run it five times, and I don't really even like this play, but we're going to run it five times because I'm going to get four explosive in the passing game off of this. I'm going to design one for you. I'm going to design one, like, hey, I'll design one for you, Kittle. I'll design one for you, Ayuk. I'll design one for you, Debo, and I'll design one. You know, well, guess what? If you're not doing the dirty work, I'm not designing one for you. I'm designing one for, instead of Ayuk getting one, I'm going to get one to, Juszczyk. I'm going to get one to somebody else who is doing the dirty work. So, and that's, you know, there's a reward system there. And I don't have, like, that's the way it should be. Like, if you're not sacrificing for the guys that you play with, if you're not doing your job to the best of your ability, or if you're, you know, slacking on that stuff, then you should be punished for that. That's not how you win as a football team. That's not how championships are built.
And is that where the Shanahan offense really is at its best, when it's a meritocracy of five eligibles and everyone's getting their chance and everybody's moving around and all of the different options are available on every play?
Well, where it's the best is when you're really running the ball exceptionally well, and everybody's involved in that. Every guy is sold out for that run, because then, like, Kyle is so good at creating and marrying the play action pass game to that run game. And so if you're really selling out and you're really running the ball well, then everything you do that mirrors or marries to that run game, it's guys wide open. I mean, how many times do you see guys that are running through a deep over or a low cross or something where there's not somebody within 8 yards of that particular dude? Like, he is just running free, and it looks like the easiest throw in the world. And that's all off of design. You know, it's all off of, you suck guys up in the passing game, you suck them up in the play action game, and they can't get out. They can't help themselves because you run it down their throat. And then when you go stalk a guy, and you go stalk a guy like you're going to block a safety, and all of a sudden you hit a double move on him, you're 14 yards beyond him. And, you know, and now what? I mean, now that guy's turning and sprinting, but he has no chance of getting there. So those easy throws, those easy completions that are big-time explosives, like, that is what he does best. And then when you start putting explosives together, when you talk to defensive coordinators, every time you hit an explosive play on offense, that's a 10-plus yard run and a 20-plus yard pass, every one of those basically in a drive chart equates to about 3 points. So, you know, you hit 12 explosives in a game, man, you're gonna hang 35, 40 points on somebody.
Mark Schlereth with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Stink, where do you think Davante Adams is going to end up?
I think he's going to end up with the Jets. Ultimately, I think he's going to go back with Aaron Rodgers, and you know that Aaron is going to force that to happen. I'm sure that Aaron, called both Robert Saleh, the head coach, and Joe Douglas, the GM, into his office, you know, and gave him a good stern talk. You know, he runs the organization, so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that feels like the place he's going to end up.
Does that make sense to you? I get those connections, but is that what the Jets need?
Well, listen, man, obviously when you watch the Jets on offense, Aaron has not truly connected with Garrett Wilson. There's a disconnect there. And I went back to that game Sunday against Denver and really looked at it, and there was a bunch of half-assed plays. I thought Garrett Wilson, you know, like we talked about those love of the game routes, I thought there was a lot of half-assed routes run. And, you know, and I just know older quarterbacks, you know, guys that have been around a long time, had a lot of success, dude, they will freeze your ass out. They just don't even think about it. Like, all right, if that's the route you're going to run for me, then you're never going to see another football. And so there's been a little bit of a disconnect there for whatever reason. But, yeah, I could definitely see that really helping the Jets. And then the other thing is, and this is big, you go back to his time, Devontae Adams' time with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and you go back to third downs, and he had 19 touchdowns on third downs, which was, in that time frame, was number one in the National Football League. He had the second most targets, the second most catches, the second most catches for first downs, like the second most yards on third down. Like he was the go-to guy. And when you have that guy, especially if you're running like an individual route, like X individual or whatever on the, you know, on the weak side into the boundary, like even when he's double covered, he's open. And you get to the point now where, you know, they struggled in protection last week. Well, guess what? If you've got a situation in which you can just shove the ball to him and you know that guy is going to get open, or that guy is going to, you know, strong hand it and body somebody up and catch that ball. Well, now all of a sudden, I'm getting the ball in under a second and a half because I know that dude's going to convert. I know that dude's going to find a way. And now it solves some of your protection issues on third down because the ball's just out so quick. So, and that really is, when I look at the Jets, that really is their kind of their biggest issue, is if he's got to hold the ball and guys aren't getting open quick, then that protection will break down.
Yeah, and a 10-9 loss against Denver reeks a little bit of offensive desperation only four games in. When you look at Arizona, Stank, what do you think about their offense outside of Kyler Murray and the ability to make plays and James Conner in a good ground game?
Yeah, I think well, James Conner's just a football player, man. That guy's one of my favorite players. He is so good at what he does. Like we talked about with Mason, put your foot in the ground and just get downhill and get positive yardage. I think, you know, still from a talent standpoint, I think there are some talent issues up front a little bit. I think there's some talent issues. And so that hampers them a little bit. I don't think they have elite level speed at the wide receiver position, so they don't have anybody that threatens you over the top. Even though Marvin Harrison Jr. is a legit big-time receiver, you know, he's a tall dude, but he doesn't have that blazing type open-it-up speed. And they don't have really anybody on their roster that has that. So, you know, you can keep a shell over the top of them pretty much. And then Kyler has put together four straight weeks where he's had an opening, opening drive touchdown. And, like, when he's rolling, he's good, but I'm telling you, when a mistake happens at some point in the game, look at his first half splits or his first quarter splits to the rest of the game splits, and they are eye-popping how things fall apart in that offense. And Kyler is just one of those dudes that when he makes a mistake, or you can see his dauber down, his body language is bad. You can see him frustration, or just open frustration. Like there's some things going on there that he needs to rectify and clean up, because it has been one of those first quarter awesome and the rest of the game just very, very average.
You just led into something I wanted to ask you. We were batting this around before the show. Simple question: is Kyler Murray good?
Kyler Murray's talented.
Is he good?
Kyler Murray is explosive. Kyler Murray is all those things. Is he good? Right now, no.
Yeah, like is he someone you'd sign?
No. Nope. I think he's way too inconsistent. He is, like, here's my issue with a quarterback like that, like versus Brock Purdy. Like, I have this rule I talk about all the time. I made it up, but in my mind, it's how offense needs to be run. I call it the 70-30 rule. And the 70-30 rule is 70% of the time I need my quarterback and I need my offense to be on schedule. Right? I've got to be on schedule. Hey, 30% of the time when things break down, as they often do, then off schedule I need a quarterback to make a play. Okay? When you live in that world, in that realm, you'll survive that off schedule stuff, and every now and again you'll make a big play. but you probably won't hurt yourself if you're in that kind of 70%. We're on schedule. We're in, you know, we're in second down and six minus. We're in third down and two minus. Like, when I'm living in that world, like, I can operate my offense. The problem with guys that want to play off schedule all the time is they pass up easy, you know, they pass up profits to try to make bigger gains. And ultimately what happens is you pass up those profits, so you're not in great situations. You know, you're not in always third down and shorts. You're in a lot more third down and longs because you passed up the 5 or 6 yard gain to keep yourself on schedule. And then ultimately you get behind the chains and you get behind the game, and then you take chances that you shouldn't take. You throw one up in a team meeting, it gets picked off, and the next thing you know, you're on the wrong side of a 12-point deficit. And that happens far too often with Kyler. He just plays off schedule too much, in my opinion.
Stink, great stuff as always. We love having you, and we thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great one.
Okay, thanks, Mark. You too. There he goes, Mark Schlereth. That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.